Welcome to the Six Figure Developer Podcast. I am John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.
Before we get started, I wanted to let everyone know that Clayton and I wrote a book. Practical Test-Driven Development with C-Sharp 7 is now available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. Ash, what are we talking about this week?
Today we are talking about the generic repository.
Fantastic. Clayton, why don't you tell us what a generic repository is?
A generic repository?
Why don't we start with the repository pattern?
So in general, the repository pattern is a way of implementing data access. It allows you to pull a record or a number of records out of a data set and then have those records to work on. You can also then update or delete records within that record set. It basically allows you to have your essential CRUD operations.
So where might you use a repository?
I typically reuse a repository pattern as my entry-level pattern anytime I'm working with data, since in the corporate world, 90% or more of your manipulations for data is going to be fairly simple, just CRUD actions, create, read, update, and delete. So I start with a repository pattern, and then I only get more complicated if I have to.
Why might I want to make a generic repository? Or what would be the difference between a generic and just a plain repository?
Well, as a developer, I spend the majority of my day trying to find ways to get out of work. And the generic repository pattern is a way to have the same repository work for multiple data sets. So why, if the repository pattern itself is so simple and straightforward, why continue to write it every single time you need it? Why not write it once and then use it pretty much everywhere?
So since you had mentioned CRUD applications, a lot of what developers do these days, and I include myself in this, are essentially making forms over data applications. Is that what you're talking about? Just kind of genericizing that set of functionality, the create, read, and update, and delete methods, writing those generically for a single instance?
That's generally what the repository pattern provides. Essentially, the ability to get multiple records all at once, or to get a specific record to update that record or delete that record and then save it back to the database.
Now, I've seen a lot of instances of individuals using generic repositories and leaving them open for extension or maybe injecting specific instances in classes that need additional functionality in other places. Would you recommend such a practice, or do you have any experience with that?
I like to leave my classes as open for extension as possible. With the repository pattern, your implementation may depend on your backend data set. For instance, if you were using a file system, then there are some things that you can do and also some things that you can't do very easily. Whereas with Entity Framework, the set of things you can and can't do might be different. Generally, with Entity Framework, I like to allow the user to use link. And link over entities is really easy to use, but it's kind of a leaky abstraction for the repository pattern. So it may not fit in all circumstances. If your repository was over an API data source, like you were hitting some distant web API, you wanted to make a repository over Netflix, for instance, then you can't really do the link to entities approach. So you can't have where clauses and stuff that you're attaching after the fact. So you'd have to tweak your implementation of the repository pattern a little bit differently. But that's why you can define a generic interface that specifies the core of what you can do. And then your different implementations would allow you to surface up the different capabilities of a particular data source.
Now, you mentioned Entity Framework. I've heard a lot of discussions about using the repository pattern with Entity Framework, whereas Entity Framework utilizes a unit of work pattern. Is that true?
Entity Framework does use a unit of work pattern, but it also loosely implements a repository. in that you can retrieve a set of records, manipulate that data, and then cause a save back by having direct access to the objects. I guess we should say what a unit of work is. So a unit of work is you ask the data set for a object, you do operations on that object, and there is a tracking mechanism that the system has so that when you say you're done with that object, the system knows what changes you've made. It knows that you've updated the user's name to be Bob. It knows that you've changed the user's password, and it knows that you've updated the user's email address. So when you tell it that you want to save, it knows that those are the things it needs to save, and it knows that changes have happened, so it only saves the changes that you've made, not saving the entire thing. In a base repository pattern, when you save, you're just saving the whole instance of the object. But Entity Framework does have the hallmarks of what I believe the repository pattern to be, so it kind of does both repository and unit of work. But a lot of people don't like taking the repository pattern and putting it over top of Entity Framework because they feel like you're abstracting the strength that Entity Framework or any other ORM might provide.
But by placing a generic repository between the rest of your application and your data access layer or your implementation of Entity Framework, does that allow you some additional functionality that you might not get by directly accessing or utilizing those direct Entity Framework commands and functionality?
So you're saying, does the repository pattern give you anything extra?
Are there any benefits to utilizing a repository facade?
The main benefit for me is consistency in data access. You want to keep your layers separate. Any dependency that your application has is just good practice. The general argument is, oh, but you might change your database. And then if you're using Entity Framework all the way up to, like, say, your API controllers, then changing your database is going to be awfully hard. And then the other person would make the argument that they've never seen anybody change their database and there's no need to worry about that. But it makes for a cleaner separation within your code. You can keep your business logic separate from your data access and from your whatever your UI layer is. In the case of an API, your UI is actually web API.
I think testing is a perfect example of the reason to have that separation, because in the situation when you're trying to test those classes, you can pass in a mock or a stub or something like that for that repository, and then you won't actually have to go back to the database layer or deal with mocking out any framework or something stupid like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the testing enforces the same benefit that breaking things up by layers provides, which is the ability to change the code. When somebody does ask for change, and it doesn't have to be that we're swapping out the entire database, tomorrow we're switching to Oracle. It could just be, well, we need to change this this model. It's no longer going to have the user's social security number on it. Well, if you're using Entity Framework all the way throughout your system, depending on what you've done, that change could be difficult. But if you've cut the abstraction at a certain level and not used Entity Framework past that point, and you've only used your internal interfaces, then making changes would be a lot easier.
And along the lines of people saying they've never witnessed anyone actually changing those things, a recent project I was on has changed from one data store to another, and they're now on their third ORM, last count that I received. It does happen, and if you not necessarily plan for it, but if you at least allow yourself that flexibility or code the application in such a way that you don't feel that pain in the future, I think that sets you up for a little bit ease in the future.
Yeah, and that's the ultimate goal of putting in patterns and abstractions, is to allow yourself the opportunity for change tomorrow, because you don't know what the business is going to ask for tomorrow.
You mentioned leaky abstractions and that you are allowing queries essentially to be written in other parts of your application. Can you describe that or explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, so not every data source can allow you to do, say, an iQueryable throughout your system. And iQueryable, iNumerable, and iList, I'm sure there's more, but those allow you to do link operations in your system. But iQueryable specifically with Entity Framework and many of the other ORMs will delay the execution of the query until later when you actually finalize the query. And if your data set where all your data is, if that is not something that's driven by Entity Framework or Hibernate or something like that, like say it's a file system or say it's a third-party API like the Netflix API, you can't really delay that query, not the same way. You'd have to get a lot more intelligent about doing it. So that's allowing that to happen. If you chose to implement your repository pattern and expose an iQueryable, then you are letting the abstraction of Entity Framework leak into your system a little bit. I still tend to do that because it's really nice to be able to modify the endpoint of that query after it's gone through the repository pattern. But I usually cut that off at the service layer. I don't let that go out of my business logic. And then if something about my data source did change, like say I was directly accessing the database using Entity Framework, and then we chose to break the application up into microservices, and now that particular table that I was accessing with Entity Framework is supposed to be behind a microservice for access, then I might have to change in my service code how I am filtering my data. I wouldn't be able to use the iQueryable connection anymore.
Now, is there a difference when speaking to Entity Framework in particular with things like lazy loading versus eager loading in your repository?
Well, if you do eager loading and you've turned lazy loading off, then you would not be able to do those late queries on anything that you didn't purposefully load beforehand. The way that I implement the repository pattern for specific use with Entity Framework is I'll usually have an include method that's very, very similar to the include method that Entity Framework has. And it will just make sure to also eagerly load the sub-objects that are specified by that include.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find, I know that Steve Smith, who we had on the show recently, has a couple of examples where he was trying different implementations of the repository pattern. He has a cached repository. He had written about it on his blog about another approach where you can pass in a query into your repository or have predefined queries that you can pass in and allow the repository to execute. And then you don't necessarily have the same amount of leaky abstractions.
Yeah, one of the things we're doing at work actually is instead of exposing a Lambda for filtering, we are passing in essentially a filter object, and then the repository determines how to interpret that filter object. Let's say you had a user model, then we would partially populate a user model or a user model filter that essentially has all nullable properties. So only the properties where you set a value on it will be filtered. So you pass that into the get all method on the repository, and then the repository knows how to interpret that filter or that filter object so that it can properly filter. And then regardless of whether it's an Entity Framework or a file system call or a call to a third-party API, you can still properly use that filter, and you could swap out that endpoint, and it doesn't even matter.
When is it not a good time to be using a generic repository?
Anytime that the interaction with the data exceeds your basic CRUD operations. In my work life, I haven't really had much need to travel beyond the repository pattern, because almost all the data interactions that I'm doing are create, read, update, delete. John, can you think of a situation where you've needed to go outside of repository?
Kind of what you alluded to, if you're doing something other than your base CRUD operations that your forms over data application might require, then maybe the pattern isn't right for that particular implementation or that particular set of functionality. Maybe you've got some kind of utility or service that, like you said, queries other parts of the web or Netflix or something like that. Maybe that's something specific that the rest of your application doesn't necessarily care about. So maybe that's a specific implementation for that operation.
So basically, like a situation where the data, the way that it gets retrieved, might be just very different. And kind of the updates and the retrieval process, maybe you're retrieving across multiple databases, perhaps, or something like that. That would be a time to basically break away from a generic and maybe use a very specific repository.
If your model has or is extremely complex, then that would be a good time to break away from it.
Essentially, the main point to remember is that with a lot of these patterns, they're basic guidelines to allow us to speak the same language and to help us work quickly and effectively. So if something doesn't make sense, it's probably in your best interest not to force it.
All right. So one thing I wanted to talk about, and John, I know you've heard this before. You were given a talk somewhere and somebody saw your code and they're like, well, that's nice for demo code, but that'll never work in production. There's no way that that's going to be performant. And I happen to know that that code is pretty much the exact code that we write for production apps for large scale projects. So
yeah, actually it was a comment on one of my blog posts. I think it was something along the lines of great, another little toy app example.
Yeah. So do you want to address the performance concerns of a repository pattern, a generic repository pattern even?
Yeah. So we had Ben Watson on the show a while ago, who was the author of highperformance.net. It was a very interesting conversation, so we'll be sure to link that in the show notes. But essentially, if you're down to that level of performance concerns, then bravo. If those are the types of concerns that you have, then you have a very highly performant application and you've optimized everything else that you could possibly optimize. The amount of overhead in dealing with a generic repository is extremely minimal. It's marginal in the grand scheme of things. So what we make up for in dealing with generics and writing the code in such a way that we can reuse a lot of this, we're saving a lot of developer man hours. Whereas we might be adding milliseconds across a week, a month, a year of processing. So I think that's a marginal increase, and it's certainly something that the companies I work with are willing to accept.
Just looking for your take on it, because I know like I've never had any complaints from using the repository pattern. No one's ever told me that my code was being slow. And just like you, I'm using it in fairly large production applications.
Yeah, it seems to scale well. It seems to handle the amount of traffic. And again, we're taking into consideration that we're doing relatively quick, small operations over finite set of data. So we're not going to look at, and maybe that's another example of when not to use a repository. If you're doing extremely large data sets and a lot of data crunching and collection and manipulation and retrieval read writes to the database, and you're looking for that performance, maybe you want to write something custom in that scenario. But for the large majority of the developers out there these days writing these forms over data applications, this is a perfect pattern to utilize and to use to your advantage.
I did actually just think of one situation where it does have a slight performance problem, specifically when using Entity Framework. And it might exist in other situations also, but there have been times where we had the need to create 50, 100 or more records at a time, or to update that many. In those situations, you do have to extend the repository pattern with some kind of save many function. And that save many function, in the case of Entity Framework, needs to delay the execution of the unit of work save changes method until after all of the changes have been made to kind of fire them all at once. And in the extreme case, you even have to dig into Entity Framework internals and do some database magic to get those calls to happen quickly. But that's the only time that I've ever had any kind of performance issue with the repository pattern in regards to Entity Framework.
In those cases, I tend to opt to doing direct bulk uploads of data and whatever processes I might utilize for that, because it's going to be a very rare scenario where it makes sense to include something like that in a generic repository that's used across the entire application. That's usually kind of a one-off piece or a specific utility case that you need to load large amounts of data in that fashion.
Yeah, for those I usually inherit from the generic repository for a specific class-based repository for the case where I need it.
Makes sense.
So are there any kind of go-to, is there any useful information out there that we might want to point our listeners to?
I was looking for the article that kind of taught me about the repository pattern, but I think it's gone because it was a long time ago. Maybe we should write an article.
Well, of course, I do have a generic repository article blog post on the Six Figure Developer website, so we'll be sure to add that to the show notes. Steve Smith, aka R. Dallas, has a collection of articles on the repository pattern, and also there's a number of videos on Pluralsight around the repository pattern. I think Steve also has a couple of different patterns in the design patterns library on Pluralsight as well.
Yeah, and it's a fairly common pattern to find online, which really should ring just how useful it is, because if you search for repository pattern, you're going to find hundreds of articles where people have given their demonstration of what their repository pattern looks like. The important thing with repository is that it gives you those base CRUD operations. Outside of that, there's 1,000 different flavors, and your implementation could be specific to the technology you're using, or it could be generic so that you can swap out the technology and just have a technology-specific implementation of a class instead of a technology-specific interface.
And then maybe you can utilize a strategy pattern to swap those in and out. To Ash's point, I think it's also important to give it just a little bit of thought when you're evaluating patterns to use and data access patterns to use in particular. And does it make sense to use a repository pattern in this instance? Does it make sense to use a generic repository? Does it make sense to use Entity Framework? Just give it a little bit of thought. Do a simple evaluation. 10, 15 seconds is often enough. That's usually at least what I require of the developers that I work with. If you can justify it to me in about 15 seconds, I say go for it. If you want to take a day to evaluate different things, I'm all for that as well.
Well, and coming into a new system where there haven't been any patterns created or anything, I will generally just write the code that's needed. And then when I start to see the patterns fall out, then I'll formalize them and make a pattern-based interface and see if there's a way I can genericize it and then start to use that pattern throughout the system. I don't normally just file new project and then go grab every pattern I've ever created and drop it in.
So you might suggest something like Refactor to Patterns. I believe there's a book with a similar title.
That's generally what I would suggest. I mean, sometimes you just know. And if you're to that point, then by all means go grab whatever's appropriate. But I like to wait until the pattern becomes on its own before I just throw stuff in. John and I have libraries that we have in private code repos where we've got, a whole bunch of the patterns that we've built in other applications that we could just go grab and drop in. But if we did that, then we would more than likely cause clutter and litter the system instead of actually improving the new system. So I like to wait until the pattern shows itself before deciding to implement it.
So the generic repository is not a solution in search of a problem.
I mean, more than likely you'll get there early on in your app. But
that being said, like you were saying, if the majority of the work is a forms over data or a simple CRUD operation, the generic repository is pretty much the tool that you're going to want to go to.
It's probably going to be the one I'm going to end up with. Yeah. I mean, because that's just what it does.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SixFigureDev.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Six Figure Developer Podcast. Be sure to like, rate, and review.
This has been the Six Figure Developer Podcast. I am John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.